This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of the City Wire, website devoted to business, politics, culture, and more of the Fort Smith region. Michael, how are you?
I'm well, and you say that so well. We should maybe get a snippet of that, and just when anyone pops up the City Wire, that comes on.
That's just the default thing that people hear.
Right. Yes.
Let's see. Wednesday afternoon, news that the director of the City Convention Center is retiring.
Yes, Frankie Hamilton, a fixture here. It's he's been here 16 years, running what was a small civic center that was originally built in 1966, and then of course expanded through a 1 cent voter-approved tax package in 1997 and expanded into a modern convention center. So, she's been there for so long, it's kind of hard, I mean, to talk about her not being there, but she's moving on. She's ready to go. She wants to go. I just got off the phone with her. She wants to go travel, watch grandsons play t-ball. She is excited. She's been trying to retire since 2009. But she's a member of the Arkansas Tourism Hall of Fame. She really loves her job. She loves the industry, and just wasn't willing to leave them in a lurch, she said, during this time where they're trying to figure out their funding solution.
There are some proposed changes for downtown Fort Smith, a $2 million or at least $2 million investment that could bring in some new businesses on Garrison.
Right. It's a convenience store type / market / cafe on the west end of Garrison. And of all of the stores and shops on Garrison Avenue, Kyle, there is nowhere that you can go quickly to get a quart of milk or just some basic staples. And so as more people, and there are more people living downtown, that's become part of a hindrance, and as the Griffin family knows, the Griffin Properties folks who are behind this, they said they conducted a market analysis and they think it'll work. So they're going to build this facility. It'll have a liquor store part of it, and anyone knows the history of Garrison Avenue, that's perfect. I mean, the avenue used to be just one saloon after the next.
And a diner that had been on Garrison Avenue, the Boomerang Diner, is going to reappear as well.
Right, they're going to boomerang down to the West End Park that has the Ferris wheel, but it has this travel car, this railroad car. So they're going to operate out of that is the plan. So at least they're staying downtown. It's unfortunate the fire, what it did to that building. You know, we've lost too many of those old facades, those old structures through the years. For folks like me who love that downtown environment, no matter what community you're in, you love that downtown feel and look. Every time you lose one of those buildings, it just takes a little bit out of you.
And finally, it looks like there will be there is an unveiling date for a Bass Reeves statue.
Right. Well, yeah, and we keep moving that, but thankfully, I think they're set now. Spring 2012, this large, and I'm told it will be the largest equestrian statue in the state of Arkansas. And I had someone the other day wanted to know what the statue had to do with water sports. So I don't. Equestrian means horse, obviously. So. Just to make sure I get that clear, make sure I'm saying it right also. But Bass Reeves, legendary deputy marshal, the statue is of him. It's going to be right in downtown Fort Smith as you come in off the Garrison Avenue Bridge in from Oklahoma. It'll be quite impressive. Organizers are hoping to get Morgan Freeman and other celebrities who have expressed interest in the life and character of Bass Reeves through the years, maybe get them to be a part of it. So, this has been a project long in the making. They've been raising money and talking about it for a long time, so it's exciting to see that there's some finality around the corner.
25 feet tall, right, the statue?
Yes, sir, 25 feet tall, and that includes the base, and I've learned a new word, plinth, P-L-I-N-T-H. That's the fancy word for the base of a statue. So, And there you go. Isn't this public radio?
It is. That's right.
Great.
Vocabulary lesson there. And so is there still money to be raised for the statue?
Well, yes. They're roughly about $20,000. And I think the organizers are pretty confident because they've had people talk that, hey, if you get down to the wire and you need some help, we'll push over the top. They have a few incidentals, the labor to build the base, a memorial plaque, some bronze work, just a few things that they need. But the artist cost, which is the bulk of it, which is what they're worried about, they have that paid now.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire. It's dedicated to the business, politics, and culture of the Fort Smith region. Michael, as always, thank you for your time.
Well, and thanks for your interest in Fort Smith, Kyle.
Of course. This is Ozarks at Large. Max Mahler is a recent graduate from the University of Arkansas. He's also a running enthusiast. Ben Putman is a University of Arkansas student, and he had the second fastest time for an Arkansan at this week's 115th running of the Boston Marathon. Together, they're resurrecting another running tradition, an old Fayetteville running tradition, the Gully Park Cow Patty Run. More than 200 people have already registered for tomorrow night's run that consists of a 5K plus a one-mile course. It will benefit the Fayetteville Public Education Foundation. Max and Ben visited KUAF yesterday to talk to Ozarks at Large's Ithi Agnihotri-Madulker about tomorrow's event and why they decided to bring it back.
The Cow Patty Run was originally started back in 1989, and it's something that we're bringing back as an honor of a race that we used to do that we really loved.
Thus far, I've had a great time putting it on, and Ben and myself have worked really hard, and we hope to raise quite a bit of money for Fayetteville Public Education Foundation. This was one of the first runs that both Ben and I did, for sure. Definitely helped us get excited about running at an early age.
Yeah, I ran it for the first time in 1998, and I was 10 years old at the time. So.
And Ben's got a trophy to prove that.
Awesome. So why the name Cow Patty for people who are not familiar with this race?
The name Cow Patty came from the original race director, being Wade Caldwell. And the Gully Park started out as a cow field. And Wade used to get out there with his old push mower and mow a circle around the park, and that's where the original course was held.
Okay. So why resurrect this race? Why not start a new tradition of your own?
We had a lot of positive feelings towards this race since it was one of the first ones we did. Being centrally located in a great park in the middle of Fayetteville, we just thought that it didn't get much better than that.
And also with hoping to raise money for the Fayetteville Public Education Foundation, a lot of people used to run that race, and so we automatically get name recognition, and we could bring in more people who used to run the race when they were younger, and so it could really motivate the community, I guess, to come out.
Correct. So now you're starting this race all over again. What steps did you have to follow? What routes did you have to take to maybe get some permission from people who originally started it? Or,
well, I had been in contact with Wade about it, and he was ecstatic about, I feel like he was pretty flattered by us wanting to bring back his race. He was smiled from ear to ear whenever we told him about it. But initially, whenever we were thinking about making the race or bringing it back, Ben and I were actually out on a jog together. And we were talking about it, and we wanted to do it. So that night I went home and made a website, and the rest is history.
Did you say a jog?
A jog, yeah, sorry. Ben does not jog. He wins big races like the Boston Marathon.
And by the way, congratulations on being the second fastest runner from Arkansas.
Thank you very much. Another obstacle I think we had to overcome in starting this race, which was something I know I'd never done, and I don't think Max had either, was ask people for money, which is
incredibly awkward.
Yeah.
Especially when it's just an idea. That's all it was, hey, we've got this idea. Do you guys want to support it? And then we kind of had to learn through Mike Rush and a few other mentors that we've had how to make ourselves more official. And it's been a great learning process.
So were people supportive or skeptical, or were they on board the first time you told them?
We had some people that were ready to go. They just they could see the look in our eyes, I think, mm-hmm. and knew we were serious. Mm-hmm. But some people wanted to know, hey, what are you guys doing? Where is this money going?
I think Pack Rat, Rush Running, and Ozark Natural Foods mm-hmm. really stepped up in the beginning to help us out. And then eventually, once we became more of a legitimate race and got things going, mm-hmm. then we actually had people coming to us to donate money. So
that is great.
It was a good...
So how do people participate in the race? Can they still register? Is there still time?
Absolutely. Registration is going to be open at 4 o'clock on the day of the race. We're also going to be having day before, being today when you're hearing this, packet pickup at Pack Rat Outdoor Center, and they're open from 9 to 7. And you'll be able to register and also pick up your packet today if you're interested in doing that.
The race is this Friday, April 22nd.
At 6 p.m.
And, of course, it's Earth Day, so was that deliberate or was it just a coincidence?
As much as I would like to think we had enough foresight to know that it was Earth Day, it was actually kind of coincidental, but okay. We've come to embrace it.
And we're actually going to be part of the Earth Day tour with the Eco Passports, so you can come in and get your passport stamped at the cow paddy on the day of the race.
What do you hope to see this become? In the future, what is your goal for the race, and where do you see this going?
Well, so far we've already started the Cow Paddy Foundation, which is a 501(c) registered nonprofit, which we hope to, in the future, continue raising money through the race and continue helping Fayetteville public schools and mm-hmm. possibly a wider area of public education.
You're donating funds to the Fayetteville Public Schools. Was that idea borrowed from the original Cow Paddy race?
No, the original race was basically started to raise money for the park itself to help get some of the park amenities, since like the gazebo mm-hmm. and
the walking
the path.
Trail.
Yeah, that goes through it. But we wanted to give back. I mean, both Ben and I both went to Root Elementary School, Woodland Junior High, Fayetteville mm-hmm. High School. So we definitely grew up here, and we wanted to give back to the schools that help us get to where we are today.
Okay, and I have to ask, Ben, what was it like to run the Boston Marathon? You were the second fastest runner from the state, not just Fayetteville or Northwest Arkansas. By the way, is this the first time you ran the Boston Marathon?
Yes, this is my first time to run.
Okay, so tell us everything about it. We want to know.
Well, it's definitely a spectacle. As 27,000 people ran. I think they estimate about 1 million people come to Boston to mm-hmm. either participate, compete, or volunteer. And it's 26.2 miles lined nonstop with no breaks of people cheering. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. it's the motivation is definitely there.
Was there a moment during the marathon when you felt a little less motivated or just plain
definitely
tired?
Definitely. A lot of the first part of the race is downhill, and everyone says watch out and don't take it out too fast. And mm-hmm. I might have taken it out a little bit too fast. And I think about mile 20, I felt a very strong urge to slow down mm-hmm. and at some point even give up. But
what keeps you going then?
The marathon, I think, is always a competition with yourself and just to do better than I did the last time. And also we had in conjunction with Herman's Rib House, mm-hmm. we were able to raise some money for Peace at Home Family Shelter for me to go run the race. And so that also came into my mind mm-hmm. that a lot of people were watching to see what I was doing. And we were hoping to raise more money as I went and on the day of the race, so hopefully that helped.
Did you meet the other runners from Fayetteville and Arkansas while you were there?
I did not. There was only one that I met, mm-hmm. and it was while we were running, and I saw a giant razorback on the back of somebody's shirt, and I ran up to him, and I was like, oh my gosh, we're both from Fayetteville. And he just looked at me and was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I recognized him because he beat me in a race.
Thank you so much, guys, for coming in and sharing with us the information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Cow Patty Run begins tomorrow evening at 6 in Gully Park in Fayetteville. The race will feature a 5K plus a 1 mile run. The 5K is divided into 11 age groups for men and women. Trophies will be awarded for first, second, and third place for each group. The 1 mile run will have the top three overall winners for men and women. Registration packets can be picked up at Pack Rat Outdoor Center through 7 today or tomorrow beginning at 4 p.m. at Gully Park. There will also be food and live music at the Cow Patty 5K. If you'd like more information, there is a website, cowpattyrun.com. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Jody Beznoska. She is the Vice President of Communications at Walton Arts Center. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Busy time.
Yeah, it's always busy, though.
Yeah, but I mean...
Busier than normal right now? Yes. Yes, it is. We're kicking off Artisphere, our Arts and Nature Festival, which we have been working on all year long, begins tomorrow. It kicks off. Tomorrow is Earth Day, of course, as most everyone knows. There'll be all kinds of Earth Day activities happening in Fayetteville downtown. There's events going on all over the city, and we will be having a kickoff party and gallery reception opening beginning at 5:30 tomorrow night. That's Friday. So that will be free and open to the public. There will be music. There will be food. There will be art. And there will be festival passes on sale. And assuming, you know, crossing our fingers that the weather is good, it's going to be outside. So that will be quite a lot of fun.
But if we do have thunderstorms?
We're moving inside.
Okay. It will happen.
We will be in the lobby, which will also be fun because you'll be right close to the exhibition. So what we'll be doing is we will have two musical groups. We'll have Shannon Wurst in the Bradbury Amphitheater in the garden. And then we will have the Progressive Bluegrass or... any number of things, from rock to folk to blues. They bring it all together, and they're really fun. I think you're going to hear traditional sounds that you're used to in the bluegrass world, but you'll also hear some new and interesting things. We will also have a curator talk with Andrea Packard, who is our Garden as Muse curator. The Garden as Muse is the exhibition that's in Joy Pratt Markham Gallery. It will open on Friday. They're installing it right now. And it features the works of five different artists, all contemporary artists, and it explores how they interpret gardens. And what's fun about the exhibition is that it isn't literal interpretations in a lot of ways. It's not a photo of a flower or a painting of someone's garden in complete realistic detail. It's interpretations of gardens by these different artists who work in different mediums. So there's photographs that have been manipulated. There's sculpture that I got a peek at the sculpture yesterday, and it's gorgeous. There's paintings. There's more different styles of paintings. And several of the artists are actually here with us, including Lois Dodd, who is a very respected artist, and it's her birthday this weekend. Oh. So she's coming to us to celebrate, and we will be welcoming all of them and hearing about their art tomorrow. So again, that begins at 5:30, free music, food, art, the whole thing. So anyone can come down and join us.
That's tomorrow.
And that is our official Artisphere kickoff. And then we go right into the full lineup of Artisphere programming. The next show is the very next day. That is at 11 a.m. on Saturday. It's called Imago Theater. It's visual, dance, vaudeville, very fun, very engaging. People who came to see Momix last year as part of Artisphere would probably enjoy this. But kids will also like it very much because they are basically dressing as animals and cavorting about the stage and having a good time. And then on Monday the 25th, we have the university's Spring Choral Showcase at 7:30. And on Wednesday the 27th, we have the rescheduled Washington Regional Gala.
Little Big Town,
that's right. So Little Big Town got stuck in some travel difficulties when they were supposed to be here last time. And we're just so, so glad that we were able to find another date for the event.
That quickly.
That fast and that close to the original date.
Right.
That's just wonderful, especially considering Little Big Town is pretty hot right now. So finding an open date on their calendar was a bonus. Then on Friday the 29th, we have two performances of a beloved kids show, Thomas and Friends, the live show. People with little ones will know this and they will love it. There are two shows, 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. A few tickets left for that, not many. Mm-hmm. So if you want to come to that, you need to get your tickets soon because they're going to sell out for sure. The 1st of May, we have Lucinda Williams at the Amp.
That's a Sunday,
correct. And then 2 days later, we go into our final Broadway show of the season, which is Les Miserables.
which is a huge spectacle sort of
giant show. And it's the 25th anniversary tour. So there will be some changes to the show. It's actually been reimagined since the original concept. I remember when I saw it, you know, the big deal was the turntable and the big sweeping songs. Well, you'll still have the big sweeping songs. The music hasn't changed, but the production has changed. And so the turntable is no more. What I have heard is that they have modernized it and they create these different senses of place using projections and lighting. And so it's different. But what I've read in reviews is that it's great and that it feels like a very timely and appropriate update to this wonderful show. So that's May 3rd through May 8th, 8 performances. As of right now, it is sold out.
Sold out.
But we are hoping that, you know, with ticket turnbacks and, you know, with last minute holds getting released, that we will have some tickets. All we really can tell you at this point is keep trying and keep calling and keep checking the website, because if anything comes available, it goes up online immediately. And then that same week during Les Mis, we will kick off our two first concerts as part of Artisphere. We will have a band called Eden's Edge, and they will perform at Fayetteville's First Thursday on the 5th, and they will also perform at Bentonville's First Friday on the 6th. And that is sort of that's the first real big Artisphere concert. It's going to be wonderful. They're a new up-and-coming band, country band. They're all, three of them are from Arkansas, so they're very excited to be kind of, it's almost like they're launching themselves here at these festivals. And we'll have, you know, Artisphere things on sale, and we'll have special gifts and giveaways, and it's going to be wonderful.
And Broadway for next year?
Yes. Actually, on the 3rd of May, which is the opening night of Les Mis, our Broadway season will go on sale on subscription, which means if you decide you want to buy the full Broadway package, 6 shows, you can do that at that time. The full season will be announced next week, but I can tell you that it's really, really exciting, a really interesting mix of classics and new stuff. Some of your favorites, like West Side Story, will be on there.
That's a hint.
Yeah. That one, I can spill that one. And then we've talked about others. You know, we'll have a show about cheerleading. We'll have a show
about a nanny.
About a nanny and her little charges. Mm-hmm. We will have a show about 80s rock. And Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and Carl Perkins and Johnny Cash may get together in a show.
They may.
So it's really exciting. And so you can watch the papers. It will be announced next week. And you can buy the subscription online. It ranges in price from, you know, around $200 for the full package to up. So if you think about that, you know, that's 6 performances, 6 Broadway performances for only $200. That's a pretty good deal. Depends on the night of week that you go. But we're thrilled. We're just really excited about it. And there's some additional shows that you can add on once you have purchased your Broadway subscription that I think people will be quite excited about, including the return of several blue-faced characters that I think people will enjoy seeing again.
The Smurfs are coming back.
Yes, the Smurfs. I wish the Smurfs were coming.
Anything we've talked about. Anything
All
we've
of
talked
it.
About.
WaltonArtsCenter.org or 443-5600, or come down and visit us at the box office. It's very, very busy right now. The phones are ringing a lot, and the website is really busy. So if for any reason you're having a hard time getting through, just keep trying. We will get to you, and if you leave messages, we will definitely call you back. So we hope you'll keep trying if the queue is long or something.
Okay. Jody, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So according to Standard & Poor's, it won't be long before the USA is an unsafe place to invest your money. The president denied this, of course, and asked all Americans to do their part to help by sending him money to get a Nigerian dictator's fortune out of that country. Dear kind sir or madam, I'm Peter Sagal, and I'm asking you to join us for the new junk-rated news quiz from NPR.
Wait, don't tell me. Sunday at noon on KUAF 91.3 FM. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead on the program, some unexpected but amazing sounds from the Carroll County Courthouse after hours, and Garrison Keillor's Writer's Almanac for April 21st. Medical marijuana could make it onto the ballot in next year's general election in Arkansas now that Attorney General Dustin McDaniel has approved a proposed act. Fayetteville-based advocacy group Arkansans for Compassionate Care can now start collecting signatures. Group Director Ryan Denham says the campaign is all about patients in Arkansas.
Patients in Arkansas right now are left with two horrible choices. They can follow their doctor's orders, obtain the medicine illegally on the black market, face arrest, prosecution, jail, or they can continue to suffer and not use medical marijuana because they're afraid of getting in trouble. So we offer the third choice, allowing Arkansans to obtain medical marijuana in a safe, tightly regulated environment and protecting physicians who make their recommendation.
The group has until July of next year to gather the 62,000 required signatures. But they say they hope to get at least 125,000 in case some are declared unacceptable. The proposed act says possession and distribution would still be illegal if the marijuana is not used for medicinal purposes. During a press conference yesterday at George's Majestic Lounge on Dixon Street in Fayetteville, Brian Crown, general manager of the Arkansas Music Pavilion, announced some additional shows to the venue's 2011 season.
What you're seeing up here isn't the entire season. We have several shows that are confirmed that we can't announce until a little bit later. But I'm very excited to announce our first comedy show that the Amps hosted with Rodney Carrington on July 1st, the B-52s on July 14th, Chris Young, just a super hot country star right now, on July 29th, Charlie Daniels Band, just an icon, on September 2nd, and Candlebox is going to be coming during Mike's Blues and Barbecue on September 28th. Also, another show that isn't posted up there that I'm very excited to announce. We just got confirmation on it. Just a few minutes ago when Brad walked through the door, the Amp is going to host a Christian concert this year on June 10th with the David Crowder Band. So very excited about that.
The Amp was purchased by Walton Arts Center in February. Brian Crown added that they are working on more shows to the season. Those will be announced once they're confirmed. The Amp's 2011 season kicks off tomorrow with a performance by Pretty Lights. Tickets available at waltonartscenter.org. The Dalai Lama's appearance in Fayetteville is approaching, and the University of Arkansas says there are still about 2,000 tickets left for the panel discussion featuring the Dalai Lama, Sister Helen Prejean, and Vincent Harding. That discussion is the morning of May 11th from 9:30 until 11 and will take place at Bud Walton Arena. More information can be found at the website dalailama.uark.edu. The keynote address from the Dalai Lama, however, on the same day has no tickets remaining. In an effort to encourage healthier communities over the next decade, the Arkansas Minority Health Commission is going to focus more of its efforts on reducing obesity in Arkansas. Idonia Trotter is the commission's director. She says the team is launching a statewide campaign for nutrition and physical fitness.
We'll encourage people to begin to understand more about what they're eating. We'll encourage them to just take a makeover mile and walk a mile a day. If you walk that mile a day, you're going to feel so much better, and you're going to do a lot to keep yourself from getting those diseases that come along with obesity, such as diabetes and hypertension.
Trotter says the commission is also starting a fitness camp for young girls this June. For over 20 years, the commission has addressed issues related to disparities in health care and health services for minorities in the state. And about a dozen semifinalists for a major piano competition in Fayetteville have been announced. The 12 musicians will compete in the Fulbright Concerto competition May 19th through the 22nd. Competition director Yura Margula says there were nearly 150 applicants for the competition from 38 different countries. The 12 selected as semifinalists are from 8 different countries, 2 each from China, Russia, Korea, and the United States, and 1 pianist each from Australia, France, Germany, and Turkmenistan. The winner of the Fulbright Concerto competition will receive $5,000, first runner-up earns $3,000, third place finisher will be awarded $1,000.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blues Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday, and we've got Paul Jeremiah, Angela Straley, Satan and Adam, Dr. John Mayall, Eric Bibb, Chris James, Trout Fishing in America, and a few others. And again, that's every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Yeah. It's Thursday, April 21st, 2011. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kelms. With me is Becca Bacon-Martin. She's the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
You know, Thursday's the new Friday.
I've heard that.
So here we go. Friends of the Fayetteville Underground fundraising event tonight with Claudia Burson Trio, 6 to 8 at the Fayetteville Underground in the atrium. If you don't know about this organization, this is a great time to go find out.
Right.
There's a talk tonight by George Sabo III at 7 o'clock at the Math Science Building at the University of Arkansas in Fort Smith. He's going to be talking about Spiro and the Mississippian world.
That's going to be very interesting.
Absolutely. I would love to hear him speak. The UAFS Symphonic Band Concert is also tonight at 7:30 at the Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center in Fort Smith. Tickets are $6. And Uncle Cracker's in town.
Really?
Matthew Schaefer, who emerged on the scene in 2000 with the hit album Double Wide.
Mm-hmm.
How can you not love Uncle Cracker? He plays tonight about 9 o'clock at George's in Fayetteville, and tickets are $20. And I've got a coming Saturday for you.
Very good.
Because you need to sign up.
Oh.
There's a Cherokee genealogy workshop at the Shiloh Museum in Springdale.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to have seminars, obviously, on genealogy, the Trail of Tears, Cherokee Settlers in Arkansas. Starts at 10:30, and it's $30. You need to register at 750-8165.
That's great advice. Becca Bacon-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Every Tuesday evening, the historic Carroll County Courthouse in Eureka Springs resonates with exquisite harmony. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has the full explanation.
A cold spring rainstorm washes the streets of downtown Eureka Springs clean this evening, while inside an empty Carroll County Courthouse, musicians Don Matt and Scott Thompson warm up.
Okay.
Most every Tuesday at 5:30 for the past 20 years, Don and Scott have met here on the second floor of the county courthouse. They sit down on an antique bench beneath a bulletin board covered in foreclosure notices and sing to anyone who cares to listen. This evening, they open with the original tune, Everything is Always Changing.
Everything is always changing, nothing ever stays the same. Learn to let it go, sit back and watch the show, 'cause everything is going to change. Lesson every day, the things I think are here to stay, solid as a rock, and I never give a thought until they start to slip away. 'Cause everything is always changing, seems to be the natural way. Flowers come and go, and then there will be snow, but soon there'll be a sunny day. You say, what about love? Oh, surely it will remain, but no one can really say is going change. Just watch the night turn to day. Watch a river flowing by. Watch the clouds up in the sky. Everything is going to change. You say, what about love? Oh, surely it will remain, but no one can really say how to make love stay. Now you can swim up the river or float on your back all the way. You've already fallen in, so sick I learned to swim. It's gonna happen anyway. We all end up in the sea someday. Everything is always changing. Nothing ever stays the same. Learn to let it go. Sit back and watch the show. And it can be a brand new game. 'Cause everything, oh, everything, everything is gone.
Don and Scott hesitate when asked to characterize their music. Contemporary folk fits, but Don says he cottons to transcendental ballads, and these songs are all that, illuminating messages about love, life, and being present to Earth's beauty. Don Matt actually works at the courthouse as building manager and is the city's government channel producer. He smiles all the time, which seems strange, and he often wears a blue ball cap over his shaggy brown hair on which is embroidered the word relax. Don's the songwriter and plays guitar, his deep, almost multiphonic voice complemented by Scott Thompson's improvised high and sweet harmony. Scott, by the way, operates HealthWorks Massage Therapy Clinic in town with his spouse Donna, and he has a certain equanimity. They've been singing together since they met in Eureka 30 years ago and have produced numerous albums. Their most recent, beautifully illustrated by noted American watercolor artist Judith Ann Griffith, who happens to be Don's wife, is titled Tea and Honey.
And honey sweet, the table set for company. Grandma's lace, a crystal vase. The flowers stand in silent praise. Yellow table cloth that melts off in the sunlight to the floor. Dark blue teacups. Matching teapot shines a galaxy of stars. Of stars. Sun comes in, oh, welcome, friend. Pour a cup of tea for him. Serve us both a buttered roll, red strawberries in a bowl. Steam is rising, spirit flying from the plate of fresh baked rolls. Meets her sister in the mist there above the tea and honey. Thank you.
distinctly local performances. A popular New Age producer once attempted to draw them toward fame and fortune, but both have found a deeper kind of fame and fortune in the Ozarks. The Tuesday Courthouse concerts have a dedicated fan base. Scott avoids computers, and Don is not much of a self-promoter. They've not ciphered a music web presence, but you can purchase their CDs the old-fashioned way.
Iris in the Park carries them, and I believe the gift shop up at the Crescent has those. And, of course, you can get them from Scott or myself.
Melodies in the breeze, the curtains dancing joyfully. In your eyes, the morning sky, portraits of the day outside. At the window, birds come and go, sailing through the sunlit air. Their songs echo, I think they know that the spring is surely here. It's here.
Springs on a Tuesday evening between 5:30 and 8 p.m., walk up the limestone steps to the county courthouse second floor. The door will be open. Grab a chair from the council chambers and enjoy the pristine harmonic ballads of Don Matt and Scott Thompson. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Don Matt and Scott Thompson, Eureka's own Melodious Minstrels, will perform a benefit concert for Clear Spring School Scholarship Fund tomorrow night at 7 in Gavioli Chapel in Eureka Springs. Tickets are $15 and available at Clear Spring School. The number to call, 253-7888. You can also buy tickets at the door. This is Ozarks at Large. This is Ozarks at Large. Time for a question and your opportunity to win a couple of free tickets to this weekend's performance from the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra. They will close out the 2010-2011 season with a performance Saturday night at Arend Arts Center in Bentonville. It includes Mozart's Requiem on the second half of the program. You can learn more at the ArkansasPhilharmonic.org website. Two free tickets to a correct answer to today's question. Today happens to be the 101st anniversary of the death of Mark Twain. Twain, of course, had many literary successes during his career. Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. But there was a certain biography that his own publishing house printed and flopped. In fact, the publishing house went broke because of its failure. Was that biography of President Ulysses Grant, Pope Leo XIII, or was it Mark Twain's own biography, in other words, his autobiography of himself? What was the biography or autobiography that Mark Twain's publishing house went belly up because of? It only sold about 200 copies, by the way. Was it a biography of U.S. Grant? Was it a biography of Pope Leo XIII? Or was it an autobiography that Mark Twain wrote about himself? You can call 800-522-5823. That's 800-522-5823. All correct answers will be placed inside the ceramic cow. Then one winner will be drawn for a pair of free tickets to this weekend's Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra concert Saturday night at Arend Arts Center in Bentonville. Good luck. And the answer to today's question, Mark Twain's own publishing house went bankrupt because of a book he wrote about Pope Leo XIII. An earlier biography of President Grant did sell very well, but the biography of Pope Leo XIII sold fewer than 200 copies, and thus the publishing house went out of business. Thanks so much for participation. We'll draw the winning answer here in a moment and then give you a call and let you know that you have two free tickets to this weekend's Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra concert. Just about all the time we have for this edition of Ozarks at Large for Thursday, April 21st, 2011. A couple of notes before we end. The Mulberry Now Live Variety Show returns to the River Valley with host Charles Belt. It takes place tonight, beginning at 7 on Main Street in Mulberry. It includes stand-up comedy, interviews, live music, prizes, and more. For more information, 430-1583. And the Newton County Public Library hosts Jack Stewart. He'll give his presentation, Birds Along the Buffalo, tonight beginning at 6. Stewart recently did this program at the Boone County Library in Harrison and worked in conjunction with the Buffalo National River Partners. He's observed birds on every continent except Antarctica and is the current president of the Arkansas Audubon Society. The program at the Newton County Public Library in Jasper tonight begins at 6. It's free, and it's open to the public. At KUAF, we try to make it easy for you to hear, see, and submit public service announcements and community events. You can go to our website, KUAF.com, click on events at the top of the screen. From there, you can read from a list of events or submit your own for viewing. And if you'd like something read on air, send an email to our operations manager. That's Pete Hartman, and his email address is PHARTMA@uark.edu. You can also give him a call at 575-7714. KUAF is your indispensable connection to the world and to your community. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, J, Oklahoma, a listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. KUAF has proudly served as your source for NPR programming for the past 26 years. You can listen online at our website, KUAF.com. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great Thursday.